your network of praise, Carlene Prince, joining in this morning, and somebody that has become a dear friend and brother and really like family to us is joining me on the phone. We're so honored every time we get a few moments of his precious time. We are talking with Ron Hutchcraft of Ron Hutchcraft Ministries. Ron, how are you, brother?
I'm doing fine because I'm like with family when I'm talking with you guys. It's awesome.
We feel the same. I was contacted by your son-in-law, who we also got the privilege of meeting this spring, Rick, and he said, hey, you know, there's this issue that really is on Ron's heart, and he would love it if he could just speak to your audience for a few minutes. So, my friend, take it away. We'd love to hear what the Lord's put on your heart these days.
Well, you know, it's two-sided, and we'll start with the big picture, and then we're going to come down to something that we spent a lot of time talking about during your share a few months ago, because they're very much, sadly, related. You know, something that nobody wants to talk about, and suddenly everybody was talking about a week ago, is the subject of suicide. I mean, who wants to? Oh, let's talk about suicide. Nobody wants to. But all of a sudden, we had, within about 24 hours of each other, a very high celebrity in the fashion world, and then in the television world, the media world, commit suicide and die by their own hand. At the same time, the CDC came out with a report showing that over the past 15 years, the suicide rate among all Americans has gone up 25% in just a decade and a half. And so all over social media, everywhere. I mean, that night, the nightly news, there was North Korea, and there was the summit and G7, all that stuff. That didn't lead the news. The number one story was suicide in America. And there are some things about this that I think are important to your listeners and to all of us. And that is, first of all, it is a reminder that, because you hear this all the time. You hear about the celebrity suicides, but you hear it about, and there's people listening right now who have lost someone, perhaps in this most awful way to lose someone. And we had no idea. I can't believe it. There's disbelief. What that tells us is that I think we can almost assume that in our broken world, we especially in whom Jesus lives, we are surrounded by people, and there are someone in your circle who is probably hiding behind the smiling facade.
Right.
There is a broken heart. There is a desperate heart. There is a hopeless heart, a hope-starved heart, and someone in very close to the edge. They may not even realize it, and very close to making some desperate choices. And it just says to us all, if I know Jesus, I need to look in the mirror and say, am I the kind of person that makes the people around me feel safe and loved and able to share with? Because I think so many suicides begin with stuffed pain.
Yep.
Instead of letting it out, I let it build up volcanically. And then when it blows, it blows all over everybody. And it wounds everybody around it. So, you know, people are desperately looking for a safe person, and it's really hard to feel safe anywhere. A lot of people, even when they get home, it's a battlefield. So if we can be the people who, by the way, have a hope story to tell, what is it that Peter said people would be interested in? A reason for the doctrine that you believe in? No. Isn't that what it says? It says a reason for the hope that is in you. And you know, everyone who's listening right now who knows Jesus has a hope story. And that story, your hope story, is the difference Jesus is making in your life. If you think about what your life would be without him, then you can see the difference that he is making. I'm terrified to think about Ron Hutchcraft without Jesus.
Yeah.
You should be too.
Right.
And, you know, so we have a hope story to tell, and that story needs to be told. We can no longer just hope they'll just see our life and figure something out. They need to hear about a Savior who thought they were so valuable.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody listening right now who's like, you know, I'm thinking about leaving. Well, think about living. Mm-hmm. And here's a very important reason why. Because number one, you are a workmanship of God, and I don't know how you've been treated, and I don't know how you've been made to feel. But I can tell you that the only one who knows what you're really worth is the God who puts you here.
Yeah.
And here's what his book says about you. You are God's workmanship. You are created in God's image. These are God's words, not mine. You are his treasured possession. And beyond him creating you, he thought you were worth the life of his son. You can tell how valuable you are by how much God himself spent on you. You know, we have, you ever eat off paper plates at your house?
No.
Well, of course you do. No, we always have this wonderful banquet. Come on.
All right.
You do too. All right. We all have paper plates, plenty of times we do. And what do you do with your paper plate after you're done with it, Carlene?
I usually put it in the trash because that's the
whole
reason
you don't wash
them
it
to
and save it
with.
For the next meal. No, I mean, look, when we were at our poorest, we never did that.
Right.
And have you ever gone back to the trash can and said, oh, look what I have done. I've destroyed my paper. You don't care.
Right.
Because a paper plate's not worth anything. I don't know if you have fine china, but we got this cabinet at our house, and boy, you drop that and you're out of the family, you know. You better not throw that away, because
right.
it's really valuable,
right.
and we keep it for special occasions. A lot of people, and maybe someone listening today, has been made to feel like a paper plate. But God never made any paper plates. He only makes fine china. And you would never throw away fine china. And all I can say to you, if you are wondering what you are worth, you cannot throw away a life that was so valuable that Jesus gave his life for your life. And so, fine china, don't trash the fine china. And, by the way, leave behind the people who love you the most. I've had people say to me, they'll be better off without me. They won't miss me. I'm such a burden.
Never true.
I've never met a loved one left behind ever who felt that way.
Right.
All I have found is people with a wound, a bleeding wound that never healed.
Yeah.
And in that, trying to deal with a temporary pain with a permanent solution, have left behind loved ones who will suffer and agonize the rest of their life. I know this. And you know, because of our work with Native Americans, which I want to talk about that because it's so related, we've lost way too many. And I've been to the funerals, and it's awful. And I did, you know, right after all this emphasis on suicide, I did a Facebook Live thing that afternoon and did kind of a blog and shared about your value and the treasures of the people you love and the tomorrows you might be throwing away and the difference Jesus makes, what hope really looks like, because hope has a name.
Yes.
Hope's name is Jesus.
Amen.
And in fact, the Bible says we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. You know, this will tell you how much this issue is in our hearts. I don't even know what the count is now, but there have been tens upon tens of thousands of views of that thing that we just threw out there one afternoon, and it has been shared and shared and shared again. So this is in a lot of people's hearts, and we...
Yeah.
Who are the messengers, the carriers of the hope of Jesus, need to wake up and realize we must tell what we know about hope, because literally, not only does someone's soul, but yes, their life may depend on it.
You know, Ron, you are speaking literally into the heart of Montana. You may be aware of this because you mentioned the report that recently came out with the stats, but I don't know if you knew this specific part, that Montana... It was listed leading the national suicide rate as far as the growth and the increase.
That. Yep, and that. So, I mean, this. What does that do? That just in. Sometimes, I think we as believers, we just get so. Our favorite game is Trivial Pursuit.
Mm.
We just get focused on things that really don't matter, and we're. You know, wondering about styles of music and whether to pave the parking lot and what the pastor did wrong last week and, you know, all these little things. And there is a life or death battle going on right now. And sometimes it doesn't feel like we're winning. And it isn't because what we have in Christ is anything. I mean, it is the most triumphant, most powerful force on earth. But it's locked up inside of God's people who may have taken their eye off the ball. The first thing you learn when you're taught how to play baseball is keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah.
And maybe we've taken our eye off the ball and allowed ourselves to get involved in our differences and our frustrations and our agendas. How about God's agenda? And God's agenda is to seek and to save the lost. So, and I would say, by the way, there may be somebody listening, and we need to be aware of this. They're like, Ron, I know this. I lost somebody to suicide. And, you know, I know that feeling, and I know very deeply the feeling of a deeply broken heart, because the person I did my whole life with since I was 19 years old, went to heaven suddenly on May 16th, 2 years ago. Mm. And I know about a broken heart, and I know about grief, and all I can tell you is that Jesus keeps this promise. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you will open up that pain, don't you make the mistake that perhaps your loved one made by stuffing it. If you will let that deep grief and that deep hurt spill out into Jesus' hands and arms and heart, you open up your heart to him, and he can take the supernatural comfort to places in your soul no one else can get to.
That's right.
And perhaps where you've never allowed him to go.
Yeah.
And you'll find that when you can't walk, he will carry you.
Yes.
And he can turn. You know, my prayer at that time was, Dear Lord, if it's going to hurt this much, please, please somehow use this grief to make me more useful to my master.
Yep.
And he will tenderize your heart. And I hate to quote the Grinch right now in the midst of this, but there's a reason to. In The Grinch That Stole Christmas, at the end, when the people of Whoville are still celebrating after he steals all their presents, it says his heart grew 3 sizes.
Mm.
When you go through a deep grief and go through it with the great shepherd, Jesus, I will tell you, your heart can grow 3 sizes, and you become a healer in a hurting world.
You know, Ron, you are saying some incredibly truth-filled and life-giving statements, and I'm so thankful for it. I find the timing of our conversation interesting. I have a friend that's traveled through town just for a day, and I was talking with her last night, and we were sharing some of the painful parts of our journeys and some of those things we at this point have come to the other side of and are healed from at this point in our life. Other things are going to be lifelong journeys to deal with the pain and walk through some of those things. But we kind of came to this point where we talk about, you know, sometimes we think what God wants is always strong, always valiant, always being kingdom advancers, taking more territory for Jesus, and some of those kind of word pictures that, yes, is beautiful when that happens. But I came to this point, and I looked her straight in the eye, and I said, I'm going to tell you this because you need it, and I need to hear it too. I think sometimes the ground and the birthing area of our pain and our deepest wounds, and just the fact that we're having the courage to just stand and not give up, and not give in, I think that's so precious to the heart of Jesus. I think that is more valiant than we could ever understand. And it is holy ground to him. Because by us not giving up or not giving in, we are saying, Jesus, I trust you that somehow, some way, you're in this somewhere. It's like a Where's Waldo picture, except it's Where's Jesus? He's in this picture somewhere. He's on the page. Let's just find him.
Well, you know? Remember this, that our Savior had a Gethsemane.
Yep.
And it was in that Gethsemane that he cried out and said, God, please don't let this, my Father, don't let this be your will. He knew it was. He knew it was. He's like, and he agonized. He sweat drops of blood. It's a medical condition called hemidrosis, mm-hmm. when the walls around the capillaries burst from stress.
Yeah.
And he literally was sweating blood. And mm-hmm. And in that agonizing and coming to going through in his humanness the battle we have to submit ourselves fully and embrace God's will, not our will.
Yes.
There's no way to Easter except through Gethsemane and Calvary.
Right.
There's no way to the promised land except through the wilderness. And we should learn something from how we come into the world. Now, I've never had a baby, you'll be happy to know. I would be the first man in history. but I've been very close to my wife when she had our 3 children.
Right.
And I know this, that it is an extremely painful process. But the funny thing is, she went back 2 more times. I have a friend, they have 12 children. She was it because she enjoyed labor? I don't think so. She didn't say, this is such a fun process. Let's go do this again.
Right.
But you know what? It is a painful process that produces a lifelong, precious result.
Yes.
And when the way we come into the world should tell us how the great things of God are accomplished in our life. And that is often usually through a painful process. But the reason a woman goes through labor and goes back to go through labor again is because she's looking at a beautiful outcome beyond it. And you can be guaranteed that if all things do work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose, there is something beautiful. And I can tell you, for the greatest pain of my life, I have seen God birth beauty in my life that I have never experienced, never felt before.
Yeah.
It says of Job, who hit about as bottom can get, it says in the last chapter, after he went through all of that, and he was a good guy at the beginning, God said, listen, I trust my servant Job. But at the end he said, you know, Lord, before all this happened, mm-hmm. I had heard about you with my ears, but now I've seen you with my eyes.
Yeah.
That's what happens. There's just ways. The people who have walked the deepest valleys with Jesus,
yes,
have experienced his closeness and his love as the rest of folks haven't, because
mm-hmm.
you only meet him there. So, and having said all of this, I think it's very clear then why my heart so aches for Native Americans.
Right.
And by the way, I think you have, if I remember, 9 reservations there in your state.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons, that might be one of the reasons why the state has a higher suicide rate.
Yeah.
Because what became suddenly front page headlines for all of us in America with these high-profile suicides in that survey is just a tiny hint of the pain that the Native American community lives in all the time. Because their suicide rate, well, nationally is 3 times that of the rest of the people in America.
Wow.
Where our On Eagle's Wings team is going this summer to 12 reservations, the suicide rate among Native Americans is 5 to 7 times greater than any place, any other people in America. And during the past 10 years, the suicide rate among Native American men, now realize when I give you these numbers, I got names that go with this.
Right.
And if there's anybody Native American listening right now, they know, they can tell names. When I did that blog on suicide on Facebook, right away a Native lady checked in. She said, 1 niece, 2 nephews, gone to suicide.
Yeah.
That's one family.
Wow.
My daughter-in-law, who is an Navajo, 1 brother, 2 nephews took their own lives in 1 Native family.
Mm.
And so when I give these numbers, these are people. Among Native American men, the suicide rate is up 38%. Was already meteoric. And among Native American women, Carlene, up 89%
in
10 years. We will go to a reservation this summer where we just heard 2 11-year-old girls just hung themselves.
Wow.
I have a 12-year-old granddaughter. I can't imagine it. So into this comes, first of all, a lot of young people coming out of that will be at the Warrior Leadership Summit. And your listeners who were part of SHARE know that something like 160-some of those were sponsored by your listeners. I almost got to reach for the Kleenex box when I say that. And in a miracle, we just call it our Montana miracle. And everybody knows. I don't have to say anything else. We all know what that is. And your listeners were the people who put the little lunch in Jesus' hands.
Yeah.
He's multiplying. And so they will be bringing all of this hurt and this baggage and this loneliness to this conference, which will begin in just 10 days. And we're in the 10-day countdown. Well, I better stop talking and go do what I got to do my list. No, but seriously, this is an awesome thing. The theme of this conference this year is transformed.
Ooh.
And we every year it seems like we hear of at least one, and oftentimes more than one person, who literally was coming to that conference to end their life as soon as they got home. It was going to be the last thing they ever did. And instead they found life in Christ.
Yes.
That's actually the story of some of our On Eagle's Wings team members who are going to be carrying the message of hope this summer. to 12 reservations. So because of all the Native people have lost over history, because of the breakdown of the family, much of which started when a whole generation of children were taken out of their Native families and sent to boarding schools where many of them were abused, and they brought that abuse back to the reservation. And because they look around, a Native young person looks around their world, and what we see, we might know somebody who's got an alcohol problem or someone who has a drug problem. We might have known someone who ended their own life. But when you look around and it just seems like it's almost everyone.
Yeah.
And the pain and the brokenness seems so everywhere, you really get the message it's hopeless. You start to live self-destructively because
right.
All I'm sure of is today, I probably won't live long anyway.
Right.
So it doesn't matter how many risky behaviors I undertake. And you do whatever you got to do to escape the pain until the pain becomes so unbearable you decide you'll take the ultimate escape, which, of course, only brings you immediately into the presence of God. So I ask your listeners, and I know they are caring people. Boy, do I know, big time. Carlene, your heart, I know, I think the people there love you because your heart and their hearts are heart matches.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an opportunity in this generation to close a 400-year gospel gap in Native America.
Oh,
where
yes.
After 400 years of mission activity to reach the first Americans, only 4% know Christ.
Mm.
And yet, well, I put it this way. I'll just put it this way. Here's a story of three kinds of people. The Invisibles, the Incredibles, and the Indispensables.
Yeah.
I probably should define those, do you think?
Please, that would help.
Well, the Invisibles are Native Americans with all of this going on, and we don't even know it.
Mm.
They've been off our radar, and a caring follower of Christ is listening right now going, how do I not know this?
Right.
I mean, this right here in our state, this is right, maybe right here down the road somewhere. How can there be this kind of hurt and I don't know it?
Right.
Well, there you go. They are the Invisibles. However, when people like you at your network of praise say that isn't going to happen anymore.
Right.
Because they're not invisible to us.
Yes.
And they're not invisible to God. And God has heard their cries. And part of what has happened is he's laid it on your hearts to use the platform God has given you to say to God's people, we cannot let this be off our radar anymore. And then that leads to the Incredibles. Now, I'm not talking about the guy in the red suit in the movie, okay?
You
don't have to put one of those on. But the Incredibles, because my Incredibles are real.
Right.
They're not animated. Well, they are animated, but they're not animations. Is this Native American team of young people. These are Eagle's Wings warriors. You talk about being more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Yes.
They were the almost suicides. They have been the ones struggling with addiction. They have been the angry ones. They have been the gang members. And they have found in Jesus Christ that hope does have a name. His name is Jesus, and he is not, as their people have believed, the white man's God.
Right.
God so loved the world. And when he came here into our world, he chose to come as a brown-skinned man. He did not look like me. He was from a tribe. He was a tribal man. Hello, Judah.
Yes.
He lived on land that others had occupied. Sound
uh-huh.
familiar?
Uh-huh.
He loved nature. He was homeless part of his life. Slept on a hillside. He came from a place that people didn't. They said nothing good comes out of there. Nazareth, mm-hmm. And he died a violent death. See, Jesus' life was so much like the rest. And when they come and tell about this Jesus and what he did on the cross with a love that is incomparable, unlike any other love on earth, an unlosable love, and that he has the power to walk out of his grave, therefore there is nothing in your life that he is not bigger than it.
Yes.
It's bigger than you, but he's bigger than it.
Yes.
And when they tell about this Jesus, and they tell about, I mean, their hope stories at the beginning are heartbreaking. And then they are hope-giving.
Yes.
And they will stand on a basketball court, and you can hear a pin drop, surrounded by the young people of that community. And where is this guy right here, Mr. Talk All the Time? I'm talking to God. I'm on the bus praying for them because they do it all. They are the Incredibles.
Yeah.
And when they give an invitation for people to come to Christ or when they're with them one-on-one, you know what happens is I've been an eyewitness to thousands of Native Americans coming to Jesus. That's just not happened, I don't think, in 400 years.
Mm.
So the Invisibles, out of the Invisibles come the Incredibles. There was that other group, the Indispensables.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm talking to one of them right now. And I'm talking to a bunch of them who's listening right now. Because the Indispensables are the people who pray down the victories as this team goes to battle. It is, as Moses learned, the intercessor on the hill that decides the outcome of the battle, not Joshua on the front lines.
Right.
It's the warrior on the hill, the prayer warrior on the hill. And so I call your listeners, as they say, what can I do? Well, God has caused you to care and given you peace of his heart. And I ask you to join in an all-out prayer offensive. And in the words of John Wesley, storm the throne of grace and persevere therein, and mercy will come down. And I pray for mercy to come down. On that Warrior Leadership Summit conference where there are young people from so many tribes there, and then on these 12 reservations where we will go toe-to-toe with the enemy to take prisoners away from him, and pray for these young warriors, and pray the young people to Warrior Leadership Summit who need to be there. Pray for the protection of this team as they are heaven's little army and hell's big target. And so your prayers will really decide the outcome. And you know, Carlene, there's a place that people can go and actually hear some of these warriors talk about how you can be behind them this summer. It's called hopefornativeamerica.com. And if you're asking the question I asked when I first learned of this need, what can I do? Well, the best place to go to get your question answered is hopefornativeamerica.com.
I'm so glad you gave that website. And I also want to remind our listeners early in the conversation when you talked about a blog that you wrote and also a Facebook Live video. Those are both on your Facebook page for Ron Hutchcraft Ministries. So if you would like to see the video and read the blog, I read the blog and saw the video both, and they were powerful. God uses you in such amazing ways to communicate such incredible truths, Ron, and those were no exception. So I want to encourage people to do that. Yes, go to the Hope for Native America. Is it .com?
Yeah, is that that's
correct?
Right.
Okay.
And you become one of the Indispensables, because the Indispensables send the Incredibles to the Invisibles.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Now, Ron, I want to ask, because we as a ministry understand financial needs are a very real part of any commission that God has given us to do. Is there still a place for people to give? Is there needs that you still have as you are getting ready to go on your Summer of Hope tour with Native Americans
to
reservations?
You would think I put this on a 3x5 card for you to ask, and I didn't. God put it on your heart.
Yes,
I didn't put it on a 3x5
right.
card. I didn't send you a text.
That's right.
Well, first of all, you know, some of your folks there have been so helpful in helping us get young people to Warrior Leadership Summit. If you put the total package together, because if we had non-Native young people who would be far less effective, of course, they could probably go to their church and raise money to go on this team. You know how you get letters from, I'm going to Haiti this summer, please send money.
Yep.
You know, well, they have nobody to write to. So
it's
got to be somebody's making this happen. So
yes.
We have, to answer your question, I'm praising the Lord, we have about 70% of the expense of this Summer of Hope, that is including the Warrior Leadership Summit Conference, and then supporting the warriors on the On Eagle's Wings team for 4 or 5 weeks of front lines combat on 12 reservations.
Mm.
We have about 70%, in fact, I got a report just this afternoon, 70%. Is here. Praise God for that.
Yes.
And if you've ever climbed a mountain, what's the toughest part to climb?
And that last part to the summit.
The last stretch.
Yep.
That's right. So if God's people are if God speaks to you about this, there's a place where you literally you can go to Hope for Native America, and it says send a team member.
Mm.
And you can literally help sponsor one of these young warriors, one of the Incredibles, and you become their Indispensable. And the way I feel like, this is what I picture as I'm on the bus praying, is that When they're out on that basketball court sharing the hope of Jesus as only they can with their people, it's like there's two people standing next to them. Jesus is on one side, and somebody who helped them get there is on the other side.
Wow.
And you stand there with them. And so there's three people standing out there. So if you want to be one of those, hopefornativeamerica.com will give you a vehicle through which you can play a part in that. Thank you for asking.
I'm so glad to know that. Thank you. That's helpful. And we will put that information on our Facebook page as well and just ask the Holy Spirit to do what he does, which is prompt hearts to be a part of this incredible, miraculous story that we're praying God will break through and have an outcome with. Ron, to end our time, I want to kind of surmise, if I can, a couple of points that you said and then just ask you for any closing comments you have. I so appreciate your daily feature that we air here on your network of praise, A Word with You. And I have heard you use an illustration a few times in different topics. And you are talking about that stuffing thing that we tend to do with our pain. And the illustration you use is it's like holding a beach ball underwater. And
yes.
If you've done that, you know the force with which it will pop to the surface. And it always will. That's a guaranteed thing.
And the farther down you push it, the higher it's going to go when it goes.
Exactly. So for anybody who is currently in a place of pain, may I lovingly encourage you. I don't believe you're listening to this conversation by accident. I believe the Holy Spirit has led you to listen in on this conversation, and we are encouraging you. Please find someone to talk to. You might say, I don't have anybody. I can tell you somebody who is always there. His name is Jesus, and he loves you. He cares about you. He sees your pain, even if you feel like no one else in the world understands. He does, and he's the best one to understand. So please pour your heart out to him, pour your heart out to a friend as well, if you can, to get some help walking through the journey of that pain. That's one group of people I want to address. Another one is, Ron, you encourage those of us who are believers who have the Jesus that somebody else so desperately needs. Too many times the bride of Christ writes herself off because I don't have a seminary degree, I'm not the professional platform minister or speaker, so how can I share Jesus with other people? I want to tell you that thought that says that I have to be somewhat professional at this, or I have to have all my tools and my toolbox polished and skilled, it's a lie from the pit of hell. You are enough in Jesus. The Jesus in you is more than enough to just share comfort and salvation with somebody who needs it. The gospel is powerful. It does not need to be dipped in chocolate. It does not need to be dressed up. It is winsome and powerful all by itself. Just share your story. Share who you used to be pre-Jesus and post-Jesus and the difference that it made. That's all that it takes. And for all of us listening, Ron, I just want to speak this over all of us. My pastor has a saying, and it has ministered to me so much that I actually designed my license plate on my car to reflect this statement. He says, we are always carried. It's just some days we're carried a little more. We are always carried in the arms of that incredible shepherd that knows his sheep. And he says, we know him. We can hear his voice. He is incredible at being the God of more than enough. Anything any one of us have need of today, he is there carrying us. There's incredible hope to be found in all of those points that I just said. But Ron, I would just ask you for any closing comments that you have for this conversation today.
Well, I think the Lord was actually sending his words to you right then, Carlene. You know, this Savior that you said to cry out to is not some distant sovereign on a cloud somewhere. But remember, he is called in the scriptures a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief.
That's right.
And he, on that cross, and in the Garden of Gethsemane before that cross, he suffered pain and rejection and injustice at a level that no human has ever or will ever be able to suffer, because he was carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. And as an old song says, if he carried the weight of the world on his shoulders, I know my brother he can carry you.
Yeah.
I know my sister. He can carry you.
Yes.
And he carried all the weight of all our sin and all that's been sinned against us on him. And he truly is what hope looks like. And mm-hmm. I would just reinforce that you were never meant to suffer alone. Don't sentence yourself to Lonely Island and withdraw and say, well, nobody cares. We believe a lot of lies when we're in a dark place.
Yep.
And realize that many of God's people would care for you. There are Christian helplines to call. You can Google them. There's stop by and try to catch a pastor. Find somebody. But you were never meant to suffer alone.
Yes.
It says that the creation of man and woman, it is not good for man to be alone.
Yeah.
You were never meant to be a stuffer. You're wired by God to be a sharer.
Mm.
And let that pain out. It's interesting that people will choose to die before they will choose to divulge. And just say, get it out. There's much less desperate, much less eternally expensive choices than to just desperately end your own life. And
mm-hmm.
so today is about hope. It starts out with a sad subject, but it ends at a cross where you were loved enough to be worth the blood of the high Son of God, the Prince of Glory, and at an empty tomb that shows that there is nothing in your life bigger than your Jesus is. Oh, there's a lot of stuff bigger than you are. But mm-hmm. if you are walking with him, he's bigger than it is.
That's right.
You don't have to be sunk by it again. So thank you, Carlene, for ending on a note of hope, because this, as you said, there's no accident anybody is listening today.
Right.
You've just been hugged by Jesus through your radio or your phone, however you're hearing this. Jesus reached out and hugged you. Wasn't us. It was him speaking his love to you. Now run to him.
Yes.
Run to him. His arms are wide open.
An incredible exhortation. Ron, thank you so much. We love you so much, friend. You, your family, your ministry. So appreciate just how you love Jesus so well and care so much about his people, as has been evident in so many of the things that you have said today. So we are praying for you. We are praying for the precious Native American brothers and sisters that are going with you on the Summer of Hope tour. I encourage you to check out the websites, get involved however God leads you to. And Ron, thank you just so much for sharing your heart and for your time today.
Quick closing word of what I've discovered about your listeners.
Mm.
First of all, I will say, if you know a group that prays, if you've got a Bible study group, if you've got a small group, Sunday school class, your whole church, please mobilize them to join the prayer battle for Native America this summer. But I want to say this. I found out the Big Sky Country is Big Heart Country. That's who the folks are that listen to this station. This is Big Heart Country.
I would readily agree with you. We are blessed by them so much and honored to be a part of it. So, Ron, thank you. So great to hear from your heart and to hear your voice today as well.
Thanks, Carlene. You guys are the best.